now is grandma takes time to clean the dirt off the intestines, and I just want to clarify for everyone, that's not dirt. Yeah, just think about that. Well, to each his own, man. I'll stick with chicken rice. We are in a series of messages called My Life for My Generation. Everyone say, my life. Say, for my generation. One more time. My life for my generation. And last week we started, I was over at Rubicon this week, back at Jackson, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it tonight. I believe God's going to speak to us and that he's actually going to do something great in our lives. I believe this so strongly with my heart, and I want everyone to catch this conviction that that I think tonight, as we start to hear the word of God and before you leave this place, I really believe that you're going to leave here with a greater vision for your life, that you can actually impact your generation, that you can leave a mark on your generation. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a leader yet or not. It doesn't matter how much experience you have. I believe this with all my heart, that God can use you to do great things inside your generation. And I'm just believing God that here in Jackson Square, as well as in Rubicon, that every single person, you know what, because of how we live our lives this year, that our generation would change. The face of our youth ministry would change. Look around you. If there's an empty seat near you, I want you to imagine that those seats are going to be filled by the end of this year because of you. Come on, somebody say amen. That there's going to be more youth services have to start, more connect groups have to be launched because of the impact that you are having inside your generation. Are you with me tonight? Come on, if you're with me, say something. I believe this. That this is something that God wants to do. And I want you to catch this. I know you think you're cute because you said something. You're not cute, just annoying. All right, here we go. I'm your pastor. I got to tell you the truth. Mark chapter 8. Let's look at this together. This is our key verse. And Mark chapter 8. And this is what it says. It's Jesus speaking. It says, And he called to him the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, so this is really cool. This is Jesus, and he speaks to the entire crowd. There's this massive crowd, and he speaks out to them, and he calls basically to everybody, okay? He's got disciples. He's got the group. He's got his clique, his homies, his squad, okay, hashtag. But then he calls to the crowd, and he says, if anyone, everyone shout, anyone? Come on, shout it. Say, anyone? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What can a man give in return for his life? So he calls to the crowd, and he says, this is what he says, if anyone wants to follow me, if anyone wants to go where I'm going, anyone wants to be my disciple, anyone wants to really follow Jesus, very simple. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and start to follow Jesus. And then he starts to explain what that looks like. He says, if we try to save our life, we'll lose it. But when we lose our life for his sake, we would actually save it. This is the principle. A couple more scriptures. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Ephesians 5, 17, and Ivan or somebody, can we move this monitor closer for me? Says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Man, if I had one scripture that I could give to our generation, this would be it. How many of you have a friend that acts thoughtlessly? Come on, give me a wave. Like, they don't think before they act. Have you ever had that friend? Who's got a friend that talks thoughtlessly, says stupid things, like, all the time? You know what I mean? You know that one person? Just says things they don't need to say, they didn't really mean it, and thoughtlessly. And this is what the Bible says. We shouldn't act that way, but we should understand God's will. And I believe tonight, as we get into this, we're going to understand how to live our lives for our generation. Everyone say, my life for my generation. Okay, here we go. Last scripture, then I'm going to talk to you. Judges chapter 6, verse 12 to verse 16. It says, as the angel of the Lord appeared to him, this is the story of Gideon, and said this to Gideon. He said, mighty hero. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a hero. Come on, look at the other neighbor and say, you're my hero. Oh, let's take it to the next level. He says, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Now, this is a cool thing. How many think it'd be awesome if in your bedroom one day you're doing your devotions and suddenly an angel appeared and he goes, David, you're a hero and God is with you. You'd be like, yeah, man. Awesome. I'm a hero. Ivan, you're a hero and God is with you. That's right. But Gideon's not pumped. He starts to argue. He goes, well, if God's with me, why has all this happened to us? Where are the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? And now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, again, go with the strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Again, but Lord, Gideon replied, how could I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe, and I'm the least in my entire family. And the Lord said to Gideon, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. This is a simple story of an encounter Gideon had with God, and he's really at a crossroad of his life. And I think this is a great example for us to talk about tonight, about somebody that had to lay his life down for his generation. I want to talk to you about living with conviction. Last week, we talked about this idea that your generation can change as a result of your life. Do you believe that tonight? Come on, young person. Do you believe that tonight? It can change as a result of your life. But you see, you got to have the right mindset. You got to have the right mentality. You got to go into it with the right mindset if you're going to actually change your generation. You know, when you go to an awesome buffet, do I have any buffet fans in the house? Come on, you got to go in. It's the end of the week of prayer and fasting, man. I'm thinking about buffets right now. You got to go in with the right mindset. You know, I went to a barbecue a couple weeks ago. This was an incredible barbecue. Buddy of mine went out and bought, I think, all of the Wagyu steak that exists in the earth and had it for a barbecue. It was just piles and piles of meat. And I made a major critical error that I ate a late lunch at like 2, 3 p.m. And I didn't just eat. I had like second helpings. And then I had a little bit extra and a little dessert. And at like 5 or 6 o'clock, as I'm going to the barbecue, I thought, you know what? I didn't go into this with the right mindset. I didn't understand what was necessary to maximize this Wagyu beef. When it gets to Christmas time, like in our family, we do turkeys. We do turkey, and like Christmas, like American Christmas dinners are basically like turkey and then 8 different kinds of carbohydrates, okay? It's just designed to make you as fat as possible. And so if you go in with the right mindset, though, you can maximize this. And what I usually do is I'll wake up early. I'll do like a 5-kilometer run in the morning. If I'm feeling really motivated, I'll do like 7 kilometers. And then I'll eat like a light breakfast just to get my metabolism going. And then I'll just starve myself all day long. And when it gets to like 4 or 5 p.m. and it's time to eat Christmas dinner, man, I'm just pigging out on it like crazy because I've already got this great calorie deficit. And at the end of the day, man, I'm not going to be fat, but I'm going to be happy. And I'm just going to go into a food coma. And just like have drool come. Everyone say right mindset. Come on, you got to have the right mindset. There's sometimes your mindset needs to be geared up. Some of you guys, you try to talk to a girl that you thought was cute and you had the wrong mindset. And you jumped in before you figured out what you were going to say. And you went, and then she's just like looked at you and walked off. Everyone say right mindset. Come on, have you been in that moment? You got to have the right mindset. This year, see, you can have a mindset to live selfishly with your life. Jesus said, if you try to hang on to your life, you lose it. But if you lay it down, if you give it up, if you actually invest your life, it would bear fruit. There would be a result from your life. You could live this year selfishly, or you could live this year selflessly. The Bible says that if a grain of wheat falls to the ground, unless a seed gets planted in the earth, or Jesus said, unless it dies and is buried, it doesn't bear fruit. See, your life is like that seed. And you can spend your life on yourself, And you can put a bit of your life in your hobbies, and a bit of your life online, and a bit of your life in your relationships, and a bit of your life in this and that, and you can just scatter your life, but that's not how you get fruitfulness from a seed. If you want your life to be fruitful, you bury that seed into something. And see, I can choose to just kind of spread my life all over the place, or I can bury it, I can invest it. It's a choice how I use my life. And if the devil can get you to withhold your life, he can actually abort the fruit that God wants to bring through you. Because fruitfulness comes when I lay down my life. This is what Jesus asked us to do. Your life is, we spoke about it last week, the core of who you are. Your life is basically the sum of your decisions and the sum of your pursuits. Now I want you to think about that. Some of you, your life right now, it's not looking so good. Maybe you made some bad decisions, but it's okay. Jesus can help you and move in your life. The sum of your decisions, the sum of your pursuits, your time, your talent, your relationships, your priorities, your preferences, your opinions, your hurts, your hopes, all this stuff is what your life really is. When Jesus says, if you try to save your life, he's not talking about physically your life. This word is talking about the inside of you, your soul, who you really are on the inside. You try to hang on to all these desires and pursuits, not physical life, but that part of who you are that's alive in God. But he says you should lay it down. And see, I understand this, that people that make an impact with their life are people that have the right mindset. They're people that have a conviction about how they're going to live. And at the beginning of this year, more important than any New Year's resolution you'll make, more important than how much bakwa you're about to eat during Chinese New Year, come on, more important than all that stuff are the convictions that you are going to live your life by. Somebody shout amen. Are you with me tonight? You don't sound like you're with me. Come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. The conviction you live your life by. And I want to challenge you, young person, listen, if you live your life by conviction, if you make a decision that this year I'm going to lay my life down for my generation, this year I'm going to make an impact, this year I'm going to make a difference, this year my generation is going to change as a result of my life, your life is going to be so fulfilled. Your life will be so full of fruitfulness. But if all your decisions are made based on what you want and you feel and you think and you desire, then you're going to find at the end of this year, you'll have everything you asked for. You would have held on to your life, but you would have lost that element of fruitfulness. And you won't be fulfilled, you won't be satisfied, and when you look, you say, man, what happened to my life? What is there as a result of my life? And I believe God's calling us that we would be a generation that knows how to lay down our lives, that we would know how to sow into our generation. You with me? So I want to talk to you today about living with conviction. What are the convictions we need to have in order to make an impact in our generation? I want to give you a few of these. The first one is this. The first conviction you need to have, I'll give you four of them today, is this, that number one, the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. Now, we use the word harvest in the scripture. Jesus said in John 4:35, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe to harvest. Now, he's not saying, like, you got to go out into a field, and like some of you do to take your Instagram photos, but he's saying, and collect some wheat. He's saying, like, actually, you know, he's using the harvest as a representation of people coming to Christ, of an impact in your generation. And every time the Bible talks about harvest, they're talking about spiritual life, that you sow a seed, you sow the gospel, and somebody comes alive. The Bible says, when I put my faith in Jesus, it's like I was born again. I receive life in Jesus. If you've never received Jesus into your heart tonight you can choose to believe in him and he will change your life. You will experience life like you've never known when the reality of God is connected with you, because the word of God comes in us, and when we believe, all of a sudden there's life that is a result. And so he uses the harvest as a picture of life. He says, don't say it's sometime. Don't say it's like, well, one day it'll happen. Well, sometime, yeah, I think sometime God will break through. Well, this will happen. Well, maybe this isn't the year. Maybe it's not the right time for me to be a leader. Maybe it's not the right time for me to do something about my generation. I think maybe next semester, maybe 2 weeks from now, maybe a month. He goes, don't say it's not now. I'm telling you, right now is the time. The harvest is ready. And if I'm going to live my life for my generation, I must have this conviction that the harvest is ready. The harvest in our generation is ready, but God's just waiting for someone to step out. We haven't even scratched the surface of what he wants to do. Some of you have seen so much impact that God's brought through your life, but you know what? It's just the beginning. In your school, in your region, in your connect group, come on, the harvest is ready. You can't tell me that, well, it's ready in Pongo, but it's not ready in Paso Reyes. I'm not sure about Bukit Batok or something like that. No, the harvest is ready. Don't say it's another time. This year, you can either take advantage of it, you can sow and be active in the harvest, or you can stand back and just watch it happen. But when I choose to say my life for my generation, I have this conviction. The harvest is ready right now. Everyone say, in my school. Come on, say, my friends. Say, my family. Say, my neighborhood. Come on, in all those areas, the harvest is ready. It's ready. I don't care what your friends look like. I don't care what their breath smells like. Doesn't matter how many crazy old people live in your estate, the harvest is ready. Come on, the harvest is ready. Doesn't matter if you like your class or not, if your teacher's mean or not, if you got to go to school far away or near, all that stuff, hey, the harvest is ready. Doesn't matter how long you've waited. Doesn't matter how hard their hearts are. The harvest is ready. And if you have a mentality that goes, I don't know, I'm not sure, I can't. You know what? Then you're not going to sow your life. People that sow their life, that lay down their life, have a conviction. It's good. It's a good time to sow. It's a good time to plant. It's a good time to give my life for my generation because this is a moment of harvest. Somebody say yes. How about this? Number two? We talked about it last week. Number two, the second conviction you need to have is this, that I can make a difference. I can make a difference. Look at somebody next to you and tell him he's talking about you. Now look back at him and say, you too, sucker. Come on, I can make a difference. Sounds like some kind of National Day song or something, but it's the truth. I can make a difference. You know what happens? Check this out. Watch me for a second. Young person, listen. You can hear messages like this all day long, but this is what happens. We hear it, but when we look at ourselves, what we see is the weakness. What we see many times is the limitation of our life. And I go, yeah, God wants to use me, but when I actually want to step out, I go, I don't know what to say. I'm not sure how to do it. I don't know how to live my, I don't have enough time. I'm not gifted like that. I don't think I can. And we see the limitation. But can I challenge you that this year we would have a conviction that we can make a difference? We would have a conviction that no matter what the limitation of your life, that God is greater. Come on, he's greater. He's greater than that limitation. That he doesn't need the strength of your life. God doesn't need all your talent and ability. He doesn't need you to figure all that stuff out because God's greater. Because he's bigger. That can I have a conviction that my generation can change as a result of my life? He's not just looking for superstars. In fact, my Bible says God uses the foolish things to shame the wise. God uses the ones that no one would pick. Some of the best leaders I've ever been around are the ones that no one would pick. No one would know that they come and went. No one would understand what happened in that. He uses the foolish things to shame the wise. You go, well, how would God use me? How could I make a difference? Yeah, you're exactly the one that God would use. Now, check this out. You know what happens if you look at your life and you think you can't make a difference or you think you don't want to make a difference? You will have the wrong conviction, the wrong mindset, and you won't be fruitful in your life. You'll never get to lay your life down because you will excuse yourself from the purposes of God. Now, watch this. I'll explain it to you. Some of you, maybe you think you can't make a difference because of what you've done and the way you've been living up till now. But you can still make a choice to say, today, right now, I lay my life down for this generation. Some of you haven't been making a difference because some of the things you've held on to don't honor God and it's breaking your relationship with God. And this is the moment that you can choose either to excuse yourself or say, that stuff I've been holding on to so tight, those excuses, those reasons, these failures, all this stuff, I'm going to lay it down this year so I can make a difference in my generation. And if you constantly go, you know what? It's someone else. Next week, next month, someone else will bring somebody. Someone else will share the gospel. Someone else will be a leader. Someone else will. If you minimize your potential, you will minimize your involvement. And when I begin to minimize my potential, when I say I'm not sure it's me, I don't think I can really do it, I will always excuse myself from involvement in what God is trying to do in my generation. You excuse yourself from God's purpose. You'll think someone else will take care of it. You'll think it doesn't really matter whether you show up or not, whether you're involved or not. You'll say, well, I'm not really good at it, which is basically code for I'd rather be doing something else, you know. And when you minimize your potential, you always minimize your involvement. There were so many people in the Bible that needed to live by conviction. And you find many times the first response people had wasn't the right one. Gideon gets confronted by God, and God says, mighty hero, God is with you. But Gideon goes, you know what? If he's with us, how come all this stuff has happened? And he goes, no, I'm with you. And Gideon's response is this, how could I make a difference? Now, I'm the weakest. I'm the smallest. No one even knows who I am. I don't think I could do the stuff that you're telling me to do. And Gideon has to have a change of heart, a new conviction to step into God's plan. When Esther hears God call her to stand up for the nation, she's confronted by her uncle and she goes, man, I don't know. If I step in there, I might die. I might lose what I have. Some of you are worried about losing this life that you're hanging on to, and you need to change the conviction of your heart. Moses, God calls him and he goes, I can't speak. I can't talk. I'm not good at this stuff. And he's got to get a new conviction inside of his life. God calls Abraham and Sarah to have children and be the parents of many nations. And Sarah goes, man, it's too late for me. I don't think I can do it. I don't think this is possible. And maybe some of you blew it a bunch of times. Hey, listen to me, young person. I don't care how many times you blew it. Today, God is willing to use you if you would change your conviction. If you begin to say, I just lay my life down. Stop holding on. Some of you know what the thing you hold on to is? It's the failure of your life. And you refuse to let it go. This is who I've been. I messed up so many times. I blew it. I didn't obey God. I didn't do these things right. And you just keep holding on. And God said, if you would just lay down your life, you could bear a lot of fruit. You could change your generation. But you got to be willing to let go of something. Come on, amen. See, no matter what your limitation, no matter what the struggle is, this is why God gave you the Holy Spirit, to empower you. The Bible says, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and he will give you power. He'll empower you to be witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. He'll empower you to do the things that he asked you to do. And that's why when Gideon comes up with all his excuses and says, I'm not sure if I can, God says, hey, go in the strength that you have. Not that Gideon was so strong. This is what God's saying. Hey, I called you. I've already empowered you. I want you to use what I've given you now. Make a difference in your generation. How many times have we been to worship? How many times have we prayed? You know what? It's time we stopped just talking about it. It's time we started saying, I can make a difference. I can lay my life down. I can give my life to my generation. Everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, it's not just for a few people. It's not just for a couple of Connect Group leaders. It's for every single person in this youth ministry. Everyone should have this conviction. Everyone should live this way. Everyone should understand. It should be our mission that our generation would change as a result of our lives. So number one, the harvest is ready. Number two, I can make a difference. How about this? Number three, this is great. It's not someday, it's now. Come on. It's not someday, it's now. So someday, I'm gonna make an impact. Man, someday I'm gonna do something great for God. Pastor Jerry, I have people all the time tell me, I'm gonna be a pastor someday. Okay, that's great. Why are you living like a demon right now, you know? Someday. Someday I'm going to ask her out. No, you're not. You're still on the couch playing Xbox, bro. Someday I'm going to get my life together. Okay, all right, man. That's great. Someday I'm going to be famous. Okay, well then stop making origami, you know, Yodas at home, because that's not going to help your life. It's not someday. It's now. This is a conviction I got to have. It's right now. God says, Gideon, I want to use you right now. I want to use you in this. I want to, you go, man, why is Pastor Jeremy, why is he always pushing us? Why do we have to do something now? Because it's not someday. It's right now. He goes, God's with you. He says, Gideon, God's with you. It's right now. If he's with me, why did all this stuff happen? What about all the stuff in the past? I don't see how it could happen in the future. He keeps going, no, it's now. It's now. It's now. It's now. Come on, it's not. There's not a better time. There's not a better leader. There's not a better person. There's not a better opportunity. There's not a better moment than right now to begin to lay your life down for this generation. Come on, somebody. Amen. This is the moment. It's not someday. It's now. God's on your side. He's going to make you fruitful. But you know what you need to make a decision to do is start to use what you have.
Start to do something with what God gave you. You've got time. You got abilities. You got energy. Come on, you've got a voice. You've got opportunities that you could invest in the kingdom. How are you using your time? How are you using your talent? How are you using the moments and the platforms that God has given you? Would you get started doing something now? Because it's not someday, it's right now. I know it's right. That's why I preached it. All right, here we go. You ready for me to wrap up number four? Here we go. The band's going to come up. So we got four convictions, right? The harvest is ready. Everyone say it's ready. I can make a difference. Say, I can do it. It's not someday, it's now. Say, it's now. And here's the last one. We is greater than me. We is greater. How many of you think we is pretty awesome? Come on, look around. This is pretty cool, right? Come on, isn't worship with we like a little more fun than just you alone in your room? Like, have you ever tried to be David Lim alone in your room? You know what I'm talking about? You ever tried to just like do one of those like pull away from the mic and scream really crazy like David Lim? My soul devotes. You ever try that? I teased Lester on the other side, so I got to give David a hard time. You know, it's a little bit different when you're just by yourself. If you do it, please call me so we can like video it and put it on Snapchat. What if your mom heard you? But when it's a big group, come on, this is a little bit fun. Amen? If you ever try to read your Bible at home alone and you like just fall asleep or you're not sure what it's talking, but somehow when it's we, it's like, man, I can hear this. I can receive. It makes a little more sense. We is awesome. We like this. This is great, man. Tons of our generation coming together, having fun, playing games, doing different stuff, winning people to Jesus. This is great. But you know what can stand in the way of that is when I elevate me over what God wants to do in my generation. See, my generation is what God is interested in. My generation is what God is trying to reach. And the moment that you disconnect from God's plan is the moment that you elevate yourself. You elevate me over your generation. I begin to look at and say, well, I've got my problems. This is my agenda. This is what I want to do. I don't care about my generation. I don't care what God wants to do, you know, in this time, in this year. This is my agenda. This is my plan. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. I use my life this way. My excuses. Come on. My attitude. And you know what Jesus' response to that is? His response is lay down your life. Lay down your life. Don't exalt yourself above God's plan for your generation. Don't exalt your problems. Don't exalt the limitations. Don't exalt your agenda and your pursuits and your priorities. Lay it down. Lay it down. Don't lift up your failure above what God wants to do in your generation. Lay it down. Just get rid of all that list of excuses. I believe tonight the Holy Spirit wants to come and just kind of remove excuses from us. So we'd say, God, give me the right mindset. Let me be someone that just steps in. Gideon finally turns his heart, but that moment when God showed up, he didn't have the right mindset. And I have a feeling there's many of us tonight, you'd hear the word and you go, yeah, but if we were honest, we'd say, my mindset isn't always correct. God, I need you to change my mind. I need you to give me a conviction about my generation. I need you to give me a conviction that the harvest is here right now. I need you to help me to stop minimizing my potential, so that I'll stop minimizing my involvement. Hey, you count. It matters when you show up and when you don't. It matters when you pray and when you don't. It matters when you worship, when you don't. It matters. It makes a difference. It touches somebody's life. I want to stop exalting myself above my generation. Lay down your life. Lay down your life. Our generation knows how to promote our lives. We understand how to cling to our lives. It's so different than even 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We've changed so much in our generation. And where we've changed the most is we've accelerated in how much we demand for ourselves, how much we expect for ourselves. What is this? 3G? Where's my 4G, man? No Wi-Fi? Oh, my gosh. I demand Wi-Fi. Come on. Are you with me?
hey, are you with me?
Ever had your phone go down to 2G and you felt like your life was over and that God couldn't use you anymore? You know that feeling like I'm trapped? This is what hell's going to be like, is a 2G connection trying to like access like that comment. A notification came up in Instagram that someone commented, but you can't refresh it because it's on 2G. What is this? Like in my apartment, our 4G cuts out like as soon as I get around my block. M1, if you're listening to this, fix your stinking network, okay? But everywhere else in Singapore is fine. Like, I'm smiling, I'm walking on sunshine. But the minute I get to my block, it just cuts out. And especially in the elevator. So in the morning, my Wi-Fi router is beastly. I mean, it's like a router on steroids. I'm pretty sure you could go to Jupiter and still connect to my Wi-Fi network. And so I walk out of my house. You can go downstairs to the playground across the street. Probably be in Bishan Park. You could still get my Wi-Fi. And I'll come out of my house, and I'm on my Wi-Fi because my phone's just connected. And then I'll get in the elevator, and from the moment, I live on the third floor, okay? From the moment I get in to the door closes, it, like, cuts out, and it can't connect. And also the 4G cuts out. And it's like the moment it takes to go from the third floor to the first floor, it feels like it's taking an eternity. It literally, I can feel, like, the life draining out of my body, like, God, please save me from this moment. If you would help me connect, I will serve you forever, Lord. And then suddenly, psh, it opens up and it's like, oh my gosh. Come on, we know how to demand a lot of stuff for our lives. But Jesus says, it's time to lay our lives down. It's time to lay our lives down. The generation that will change the world is the generation that would lay down their life for Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. It's not the most talented. It's not the most outspoken. It's not the one that can prove how great they are and promote themselves. It's the ones that actually lay down their life. And this year, no one may notice you because your life is buried in others. No one may realize the things that you're doing because you buried your life in others. Your friends may not understand what happened to you. Why are you giving all your time to that? Because I'm burying my life in my generation. But I'm telling you, when you begin to lay down your life and you bury your life in your generation, Jesus says you're going to be fruitful. You're going to bear fruit. Your generation's going to be different. There's going to come a harvest from your life that is so much different than anything you could do on your own. My life for my generation. Come on, put your notes away today. We're going to get ready to pray. Acts 20:24. Says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Isn't that awesome? My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me. I don't want to just use my life for my pursuits. I want to use it for God's will. Tonight, I believe God's calling to us. And I want to ask us to get ready to respond. So I want you to put your notes away today. And we're going to ask God to begin to do this work inside of our life. God, give me a new conviction about my life. Help me, God, to lay down my life. Help me to lay aside. Give me a new mindset. Would you stand up all over this place? We're going to get ready to worship. If you're saying, you know what? Tonight I'm saying, God, change my convictions. Lord, I want to live this life by conviction. This year, I want to live with convictions about how you want to use me and who I'm called to be. If that's your heart tonight, I want you to come out from your seat here and in Rubicon. We're going to begin to worship and begin to commit our hearts to the Lord. Come on, young person. You say, this is it. God, I don't want to just live the same way I've been living. Give me a new conviction in my heart. God, help me to live my life the way you're calling me to live. Come on, you come out of your seat right now as we begin to worship and offer our heart to God.
Running back to our first love.
Jesus.
Nothing between us. And back to the heart, to the start of it all, where we found you. Out of the ashes, into the fire. You are refining our hearts in the flames of your presence. Set apart, set apart for our God.
Come on, you lift it up tonight.
Set apart for the one we love. Set apart for your glory. We are yours, yours. And everything for you alone. Everything.
the altar. I want you to begin to lift your hands right now. Come on, we're going to offer God our lives here in Rubicon. I want you to begin to surrender. Maybe there's certain mindsets you need to change. I want you to ask him to change it right now. Ask him to change it. Maybe you haven't had a conviction that you can make a difference. Ask him, God, give me a conviction. Maybe you say it, but you haven't been living that way. Maybe you haven't really been putting into practice that mindset that, you know what, it is time for the harvest. God, Lord, you do want to touch my friends. Come on, ask him to do that right now. Let this moment be a moment where we lay down our hearts and we lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Come on, you begin to pray it all over this place and in Rubicon. Come on, begin to lift up your heart to the Lord right now. Thank you, God. Come and touch our hearts. Come and touch our hearts. Come and touch our hearts. Whoa, come and touch our hearts. Come and change our lives. Come and change our lives. You know what? There's some of you here and on the other side, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're that one. What you've been holding on to more than anything is the failures, the mess ups. You've been withholding part of your heart from God, and you need to let go. For some, it's excuses, all the reasons why it's not right, it shouldn't be you, it's not time, all this stuff. Would you lay down your life? Would you not exalt yourself over God's word and his will? Because he's not asking you to be someone you're not. But the one requirement Jesus always had was, if you want to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, then follow me. Deny yourself. Let go of those things. Come on. God can rewrite your story this year. He can remove the sting of failure. He can begin to cover your sin with his blood. He can begin to change the excuses of your life to declarations of faith. But you need to be open to that right now. Father, take away right now, Lord. Lord, the things in our life that stop us from encountering you, take away right now, Lord. The stuff that gets in the way of us knowing you, Lord, take away, Lord, that all the reasoning, all the excuses, Lord, all the ways that we let ourselves out today. We didn't come to tell our story. We came to lay our lives down. We want to hear your word. We want to receive your power. Lord, we want to live in a different way, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We're going to sing this song one more time from the top, and as we begin to worship, we're going to disconnect the video link. Joelle's going to lead over at the Rubicon side, but right now I want you to begin to lift your hands and begin to worship God. We're going to sing it from the top. And just begin to offer your heart to him. The Holy Spirit's going to come in and begin to bring a new conviction, a new mindset, and a new authority as we lay down our lives for our generation. Come on, let's worship.
Back to our first love.
Jesus.